the Giant Sports Show on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW. Brought to you by Giant Sunflower Seeds. Giant Seeds. Go big. Or go home. And now, from the KBMW studios, here's KBMW Sports Director Andrew Zimmel.
Good morning. It's January 15th, 20 below out, but, you know, we're keeping you warm on at KBMW, the Giant Sports Show, talking to our favorite local and area coaches, and we're blessed to have Jeff Ralph talk to us about the Wahpeton Huskies this morning. It's been a couple weeks, the first show of 2022, so let's start off with a bang, Coach. We haven't talked since about Christmas time. Since then, you guys got your first win against Valley City. You're feeling pretty good coming into this game that got delayed because of snowstorms on Friday. How do you feel coming into this Saturday morning?
Well, you know, we had a good look at West Fargo. You know, they had a tough game on Tuesday with Red River, and I think really got a good scout on that, you know, off that film. And the key today is how are we going to handle the press? I mean, they're going to press full court. If they make a three, they don't always press, but if they shoot a layup, they're going to be up and eyeball and you know. If you can't get it in, that's one issue. And then once you get it in, they'll just run at you and trap. And, you know, I think for them, Brett Limke, their point guard, he sometimes just leaves his guy and goes to trap. And if they get away with that, then they're going to be a tough team to handle. But if we make them pay for gambling on that and we make them pay with just their over-aggressiveness, and they're one of the most aggressive teams we'll play this year, if we make them pay with a layup or with a score at the end of the press, we'll be just fine today.
You know, you talked about a point guard freelancing. That sometimes ends up backfiring. How do you find a way to, like, you know, make them pay for that?
Well, we have to get the ball to that guy. You know, I mean, if it is the point guard, that's good for us. I would imagine Brett will probably guard Caden Kappas today, and if he leaves Caden goes right to the middle of the floor, and now we're 3-on-2 or 3-on-1 going the other way. And you know, we went exactly through that on Thursday when we walked through West Fargo. And you know, it's a matter of replicating what they're going to do with their guys, and sometimes that's hard in practice. You know, Wednesday and Thursday we practiced against 8 guys pressing us, and if we can handle that, you know, we feel like we can handle West Fargo's 5. Although, you know, sometimes practicing against a 5'8 guy is a little different than a 6'5 guy. But you know, we feel like we have to do that. The same with rebounding. You know, free throw blockout, when there's 8 guys in there trying to get a rebound against 4, it's pretty tough. And you know, we handled that okay. And if we can do that today, rebounding is going to be huge for us. And then if we can just handle their defensive pressure.
We're going to talk about your star rebounder here in a second, but I want to talk about Valley City. Had a good win. You talked about it was a tale of two halves. 25-6 run, is that what you told me before we came on?
Yeah, something like that in the second half.
That is an impressive run. How do you get something like that started, and how do you make sure the momentum doesn't stop?
Well, you know, we ended the half. We were down 23 at one point, and we ended the half on a 7-2 run. And really, I think got going then, you know, and then maybe too bad the half had to end. You know, we'd like to just keep that going, and you wonder if that'll happen after the start of the second half, and it did for us. But it was a matter of just being in position offensively, and then, I mean, there's not one person in the world that won't tell you, and coaches say, well, you got to play hard every possession, and it's true. You play harder when you make baskets, and I don't care what anybody says. When you score, you'll play better. And we did that in the second half. And when the ball starts going in the hoop, you rebound a little better, you defend a little better, you talk to your teammates a little better, the energy gets better, and everything's better. And that was really the difference in the game. You know, it was 43-25 at half. And, you know, I don't know how many free throws we'd shot in the first half, a few, but, you know, we probably made 5 baskets, 6 baskets in the first half, maybe 7, you know, so we had 18 baskets in the second half. You know, a bunch of threes, were 7 of 18. Caden Hockert was 5 of 10 from 3, which was huge for us. But then we got other pieces of the game going. We had some, probably our first glimpses of our post action being something that's going to score for us. And when that happens, it's going to open up a lot of perimeter things for us.
Now, Hawker, he had a pretty good game. I'd say a pretty decent game. Led all scorers with 23 points in that game against Shanley. He just went 5 of 10 in the Valley City game. Last season, you had a bunch of three-pointers that were able to kind of unlock a lot of the offense. Is that what we're kind of moving back towards? Is Hawker going to have the green light in a game against West Fargo today?
Well, there's no you can't shoot or whatever. I mean, they know what they're supposed to do. I think I've told Caden maybe twice this year that was a bad shot, and they were all off the dribble, and they were all guarded early in the shot clock. We don't want that. We never want that. But he's got the green light to shoot whenever he's open, and I think everybody does. You know, everybody has their role, of course. You know, we would like to see Caden with his feet pointed at the basket, catching and shooting threes. We'd like to see Caden Kappas driving to the basket, pulling up, getting to the rim, or shooting jumpers there. We'd like to see Ethan posting up and scoring. We'd like to see Blake with the mid-range game. He's really good at that, getting off the dribble, you know, maybe one dribble to the elbow, pull-up jumper. Everybody has their role. Jaden King going to his left hand and scoring in the mid-range and scoring around the rim. You know, even that four-foot shot, if he gets blocked, it's not a good shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you get your shot blocked, it's not a good shot. You're not open. And sometimes you have to force that. You know, we do have a shot clock, which is probably the greatest invention in basketball ever, because you got to play. And I think, you know, the question back to what you asked me is, Caden have the green light? He's got the green light. And when you're 12 of 25 from three in the last two games, you have the green light, but I bet some kid from Red Fargo is bringing the stop sign today.
Oh, you think so?
I mean, they're not going to let him catch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if we can find a way to get Caden open, and we can exploit the fact that some guy is going to be no help on Caden today, you know, it's going to open up post play for Ethan. It's going to open up that mid range game for Blake. It's going to open up Caden Kappas being able to get to the rim and. You know, if they take that away, there's always something else that opens up, and we feel really good about those guys doing those jobs for us.
Have you kind of, so you talked to Schaefer and Kappas about, like, hey, you know, teams are going to start looking at Hawker a little bit more. This could open up your mid-range game. This could open up lanes to the paint.
Well, yeah, we do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as always, if you take something away, something else has to be open.
That's a good call. That is a good call. Let's talk about the rebounder, though, because you spiced up the lineup a little bit since I've been gone, and I liked it. I you know, I'll say this. I was kind of questioning. I was like, what's Coach Ralph doing putting Riley Timian in a situation where he's going to be starting? But you told me this guy plays with intensity, and he is a rebounding magnet. And I watched him in the JV game, and I watched him in the varsity game, and you weren't wrong, Coach. I thought that he did have pretty good hands when it came to just finding positionally where to be for the rebounds.
You know, we have a team that's made up of juniors, essentially,
mm-hmm.
and they need to play. And, you know, there's maybe some sort of unwritten rule about, well, if you're starting, you shouldn't be playing on the JV team and whatever. And you know what? I feel like my job is to make my basketball team better. And to do that, if we can play, we have 11 guys that dress, and we play 7 of them in the JV game. So if we can play some guys a half in the JV game, get them some looks, get them maybe get them going offensively, get them, you know, maybe a little better positioning defensively, rebounding, whatever, and they get some confidence in that game, they're going to play better in the last game of the night. And that's really what we're doing. You know, we started Ethan, I think, for 5 games maybe. Clutin started 1 or 2 games. Riley's going to start again today, his second start. You know, we're just looking for guys that are going to produce and guys that can get some minutes for us. And we want them to play. You know, I think if we look at our JV squad, you know, Jackson Clutin has started for us, and he's going to play 2 JV. And you know, well, what does that mean? He's being demoted? No, he's playing. We want him to play.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to get those minutes. And I think that's going to make our program stronger, and it's going to make us a better team in the end. And you know, I think you look all the way down to our freshman on the squad, Trayton Mauch. He needs to play. You know, and sometimes I think throwing a freshman out there is not the best for their confidence. But, you know, Trayton's handling it okay. And but again, we want him to play two big halves somewhere, and he gets that on JV. And then if we can get him in the varsity game and get him maybe 4, 5, 6 minutes, that's good. And we're getting that from our guys. Jacob Burns, another one who, you know, was playing maybe 8 to 12 minutes varsity in two halves. Well, now he's getting 30 minutes JV. And then if we can get him on the court, we find a matchup we like or a possession we like with the ball in Jacob's hands, which, you know, there's nobody faster in our team with the ball in their hands than Jacob. You know, that's something we need to go with. And but we're just trying to get him good minutes and get him to feel good. When we go up to Horace Tuesday, you know, we're going to send everybody but Caden, Blake, and Jake up there to play. You know, we're building our program, and if that means playing guys in the JV game to make them better, I'm going to do that.
Well, you talked about confidence. Let's talk about the confidence of Timian, who gets the start. Did you see a confidence boost in Riley?
Well, I don't know. I haven't noticed any difference in his play in practice. He just does what he does. You know, he's a space eater.
He
takes up space, and when it's time to get a rebound, the first thing he does is bump somebody and get some more space. And you know, that's something we're trying to teach everybody. But some guys have a knack for that, and Riley has a knack for it. You know, if he could jump maybe 8-10 inches off the ground, I mean, what kind of a rebounder would he be? But I tell you what. You take that that skill and combine it with the ability and the knowledge to know how to manage your body and how to create space. And I mean, Riley Timian just kind of figured that out. And I really like what I think is going to happen with Riley. He's really a pretty good three-point shooter. And when we take him and he, you know, becomes more accustomed to the speed of the varsity game and how to handle some things. And you know what? I mean, yeah, Shanley had the Warner kid at 6'9", but I mean, they didn't have five guys 6'5", like some of these teams are going to put on the floor. You know, next week when we play Cheyenne on Thursday, they got four guys that are 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". Well, sometimes that gets negated when you're a 6'1", or whatever Riley is, post guy rebounding. But, you know, he just has that knack, that ability, and We need somebody to rebound. That's been one of the issues for us this year. And like I said today, if West Fargo can shoot it until they make it, we're going to be in big trouble.
Now, something I noticed in the Shanley game was a lack of free throw shooting. I thought that the Huskies didn't take as many free throws as I thought that they were trying to. Towards the end of the game, going to the rim, trying to pick up fouls, is that something that you look back on film and said, hey, maybe we should have tried to like drive to the hoop a little bit more, tried to draw some fouls, cut this game, make it a free throw shooting contest instead of going back up and down the court?
Right. You know, I mean, when you look at it, we were 8 of 9, which is fantastic, but we have to shoot twice that many free throws in a game. And you know, I think if you look at the game film, Shanley had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
We had a hard time getting anything really going offensively, maybe with the exception of the run near the end of the game where we, you know, I think we were down 15 or whatever and cut it to 6 with the ball in our hands. But we just didn't. You know, we just didn't get to the foul line in that game, and we need to. You know, you take 88-89% from the free throw line, and we back up a couple weeks. We have two more wins for sure. You know, we beat South. We were something like 8 of 21 or whatever from the free throw line, and the same with Devil's Lake. We just didn't make free throws in those games. The last couple we have, we were 8 of 9 against Shanley, and then against Valley City, we're 15-19. I mean, we're shooting the ball better from the free throw line, but definitely on Tuesday, it would have been nice to get there more. They are not a good free throw shooting team. They were 9-17, and that's been a theme for them. You know, they would have had a couple more wins. They would have beat West Fargo, you know, a week or so ago if they would have shot free throws better. And I think they've seen that too.
We're almost at the little bit of the halfway point. How do we feel at the halfway point? What's the state of Husky basketball?
You know, I think we're playing better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still have to shoot it better. Our shooting percentages aren't great. Once we start doing that, you know, I mean, I think we'll be a better team. I think we've seen the development of our post play. We need more post touches for Ethan inside. We need more post touches for Jaden King inside. I think Jackson Clutin's another one who's given us some good minutes in the post. And not necessarily to score, but they're just going to draw some defense, create some space for our shooters. They need to score when they have the opportunity. They need to get to the foul line. But I think that's been a bit of an improvement for us. I think our perimeter game is okay. You know, Caden's been shooting it great. We got to have more from Caden Kappas, who didn't score against Shanley. But when you look at his line, he had four rebounds, eight assists, three steals. And he was disappointed scoring wise after the game, but his overall point guard game was pretty darn good. You know, you put 8-10 points with that line, and that's a heck of a night for a kid who's got the ball in his hands and who I looked at with 9:02 in the clock and said, "You okay?" And he looked at me funny and I said, "You need a break?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, you'll get one in 9:02 because he was going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, he just did, and he's our point guard, played the whole game.
And you feel you trust him with the ball.
Absolutely.
I've seen him clean up his turnovers.
Yep.
From point A to point B. I think at the halfway point, I've seen him control the ball a little bit better. And the press hasn't affected him. Again, I've missed a couple games here and there. But for the most part, I thought that he's done a pretty good job of not turning the ball over when it comes to the press. That's something that you're not worried about today against West Fargo.
Well, it is a concern, obviously,
okay,
because how they're going to run at us. But we want the ball in his hands. He's going to make plays. And he's going to get the ball to guys who can make plays if he's not going to make a play. So I have every confidence in Caden and what he's doing on the floor. And, you know, that's why he played 36 minutes the other night.
Yeah, I mean, that helps. And it helps that he does the conditioning, too. He's one of the better athletes, I would take it, on the team. He's somebody that played football. He plays basketball. I think he plays baseball as well. He's a three-sport athlete. That's something that you want to have in your program.
Right. And we need you know, our best players to play the vast majority of the minutes. You know, we're not going to play 12 guys. We're not going to play probably all 11 that are dressed today. But when you have your opportunity, you need to step in and play, even if it's only for a minute. But I feel really good about Caden. I feel really good about what he's done. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, he didn't score. So I'm sitting in my office after the game uploading the film, the huddle, and I get a text from Caden Kappas, "Can I come in tomorrow and shoot?" Well, sure. I mean, that, you know, that's what you have to do. That's, you know, you feel like you had a bad shooting night, let's come in and get some shots up. And, you know, then unfortunately that's C-Squad girls practice Wednesday morning, so he couldn't do it and whatever. But, you know, that's his mindset. So I have the ultimate confidence in him.
So before I let you go, we talked a little bit about the press. What other big ideas, what other big things do we have to worry about with West Fargo today at 2:15?
Well, if we don't rebound, we're in big trouble today. We have to break the press. We know it's coming. They know we know it's coming. And they're still going to do it.
Yeah.
We have to handle that. I think, you know, we talk about the maybe not the press, but just the defensive pressure. They are going to pressure us all over the floor. And, you know, we got to be able to back cut and score. We got to be able to knock down some shots. But then on the other end of the floor, we have to rebound. They are, you know, with their press, they're not worried about giving up a score because they don't give up scores with their pressure. And offensively, when they shoot, they all crash the boards. They're not worried about getting back because they feel like, you know, we can rebound. And, you know, you'll see us today when we do rebound, they're going to trap us. They'll just come, whoever gets a rebound, they're going to run two guys at them. We need to get the ball out of there and go score and make them pay for that. And if we rebound and we can make them pay with their defensive pressure, we're going to be just fine today. But it's going to be a battle. They are, like I said at the start, probably one of the teams that plays the hardest that we play. And they kind of play with a chip on their shoulder a lot of times. And that's, you know, you think that's kind of weird when you're the state champ and you did all that last year, but they really do. They're a team that plays hard and, you know, a team that I look at as a tough team to play.
That's how you keep winning state titles. You got to keep the chip on your shoulder. Thanks for coming in, Coach. Even though it is a blistering 17 below, the gym is always a balmy 70 degrees. Thanks for coming in, Coach Ralph.
Thank you.
More from the Giant Sports Show coming up on KBMW, the voice of the Valley.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KDMW.
Welcome back to the Giant Sports Show. It's Andrew Zimmel hanging out with you on a Saturday, January 15th, a breezy 17 below in the Twin Towns. And Brian Watson, we usually have him come in right around this time every Saturday morning to talk to us about the Lady Huskies, break down the Wapton girls basketball team. They are on the road today, and we'll be on the road with them. You can listen at 2:15 on KBMW 1450, the Voice of the Valley, and watch on KBMW News Live on YouTube. We'll be talking about the Lady Huskies and breaking them down here for you. At the Huskies are 4-3, but they're 1-3 on the road this season, losing Tuesday 62-41. And when they went on the road against Fargo Chantilly, Scout Woods led the Huskies with 15 points, and McKenna Como added 12 points. The Huskies shot 27% from the floor. If the Huskies want to pull out a road win tonight, it's going to come down to being able to score the basketball. And the Huskies have only broken 55 points once this season in a win, which is something, because you would think that if they're going to, like, if you're going to win basketball games, especially at the high school level, what it comes down to a lot of times is being able to break the 50-point threshold. It's almost like a race to 60 in a lot of ways, that the first team that gets the 60 points most of the time wins the ball game. For the Packers, head coach Mike Benson has led his team to a 6-1 record, which is second in the EDC. Their first loss came earlier this week when they lost to number one seeded Grand Forks Red River, 64-41. So it wasn't really even a close game. The separation between the one seed and the two in the EDC, it's a lot. Red River was able to pull away in the second half, outscoring the Packers 37-18 after halftime. Riley Simeon had a double-double with 20 points and 13 boards, adding 5 assists and 3 blocks. And it really comes down to, in my opinion, the rebounding and what the Huskies can do on the offensive glass. If you can get second chance points, that's going to help out a lot. So we're blessed now, we're lucky to have another coach, Coach Lipp from the Breckenridge Cowboys, coming in talking to us about an exciting game on Thursday. Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Good, Andrew. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for coming in. And I'll tell you what, it's always nice to see a fresh young face, because as somebody else that's on the right side of 30, it feels good to see somebody as young as you leading the Breckenridge Cowboys.
Yeah, it's been a learning experience for me coming in, obviously. You know, this is my first time stepping into a head position role at the varsity level, and obviously played a lot of basketball in the past, trying to just take some of the things I've learned from some of the great coaches I've played for, like Arlie Ohm, Tyler Borman, Stu Wing, and just trying to take bits and pieces from their philosophies that I like and joining it all together here for Cowboy basketball.
Kind of a smorgasbord altogether. Right. You love to see it. So Thursday night, that was a tough one. It was a 62-61 overtime loss. Turn Bluffs was on the call. You can listen to B92.7 all season long for Breckenridge Cowboys basketball. Coach, that's not the first overtime game that you had this season. You're getting pretty good at these when it comes down to the last couple shots.
Yeah, you know, our other win this season against Battle Lake came down to a double overtime battle, which was a fun one for the kids, fun one for the fans, and we were fortunate enough to come up on the right side of things for that one. Last night we were just, you know, came out really, really flat and slow to start the game. Started the game off on a 16-4 run, which really killed us. But after taking a couple timeouts and making some adjustments at halftime, the boys really came out ready to go, but unfortunately, you know, just at the end, it came up 1 point short.
Well, you know, that's sometimes how the cookie crumbles. I've never said to myself, like, okay, an overtime loss, you know, there's good wins, there's bad wins, I think, and there's good losses and bad losses. Could you look at that overtime loss and say, like, you know what, even though we came 1 point shy, we had fun while doing it? It was one of those, like, you know, we learned something?
Right. It was certainly good for us, and as there was a lot of learning experiences to be made from the coaching end of things, and there's a lot of things that can be corrected on the basketball side of things as well with the kids. But big picture, it wasn't a great loss for us by any means. It really puts us in a tough position here moving forward in March and finding the right seed heading into things. But you are right. We do have a lot of positive takeaways from things. And, you know, last night, that was the very first time we had our entire roster together, excluding Landon Bloffus, who is out for the season. But first time we had everyone either healthy with no injury or illness all together for a game. So from the coaching side of things, we were able to see a couple different different lineups that we liked. We got Dallin Ernst back, who's a true, we finally have a true post, a 6'6 post, which really changes the things we want to do offensively. You know, now we have a true inside presence there, and we can start to play more inside-out basketball. And you know, we saw exactly that when we saw Dallin Ernst on the floor here on Thursday night. You know, we saw a lot of post feeds into him that he would then kick out for threes on the outside, which is exactly what we want. We're really a team that like to strive for, you know, easy paint touches, points in the paint, and inside out threes. That's really what we strive for.
What would you say your offensive philosophy is, Coach?
Offensive philosophy, you know, we like to initially get it out going in transition, try to get an easy one there in the offense. But we're not really a dribble drive offense. We don't like to put it on the floor unless we get a calculated chance to do so. And what I mean by that, you know, inside out, 15-foot closeout coming from the paint, those are situations where we want to create where we can get guys going off the bounce then, because, I mean, that's a tough situation to go from middle of the paint, midline, closeout to a shooter at the wing or corner and have to try to keep him in front and also contest a shot at the same time.
Yeah, that is. You talking about putting the ball on the floor. That, I think, is it's important. You know, you don't want to have a guy that just dribbles out the clock. You guys do not have a shot clock in Minnesota. Is that correct?
No, not
until 2023. It helps not having somebody that's going to take up the entire half. Just dribbling, dribbling, dribbling. Being able to move the ball is going to be a big part, I think, of any high school offense.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, one of our we like to use things called key performance indicators. They're kind of just statistics that, you know, us as a staff have found that when we do these things, we're successful on the basketball court. And one of those things is three ball reversals. You know, we want to get that thing. We want to make the defense have to work every possession. We don't want to make it easy on them with forcing any shots that maybe aren't the best look for us. And when we do get those three reversals on offense, you know, that's when we start to get really good looks. That's when we get those inside out threes, long closeout. We get opportunities to take guys off the bounce and things like that.
That's an important part of it too. What's the season look like going from here on out? Because you have tallied one win at this point.
Correct. Yep. We are struggling. We got a pretty tough schedule here going in. A lot of larger schools we played. We're a 1A school. We played a 4A school this season. We played a 3A school, and we played a whole bunch of 2A schools. We've only played two 1A opponents, which we're 1-1 in so far this season. Moving forward, we got a couple more conference games and 2A opponents with Perm coming up on Tuesday and Pelican then coming up. And then the weeks to follow, we're finally starting to see some 1A opponents who are in our section. We'll start to see Weed and Herman Norcross here in the next few weeks, who is returning everyone from last year, has a ton of good athletes on the floor. So that'll be a fun one for us. And then we also got Hillcrest Lutheran on Fergus Falls coming up in the next following weeks, who has traditionally had a really solid program.
That game got moved from Monday, correct? And we had that game that was supposed to be on Monday. That got moved to the 31st.
Correct. Yep, that.
I think we're going to have that one for you. I think Turnbull Office is going to call that on the 31st. So that'll be a good one. I'm excited for that. It's good, though, that you're playing bigger teams, bigger schools. You know, iron sharpens iron, even if your iron isn't as strong as the other people's irons.
Absolutely, yeah. It is getting us ready, you know, to play March basketball, when we're going to really see tough teams, tough opponents, and play in really tough atmospheres as well. The only kicker for us is, you know, the way Minnesota works, everything's built off a QRF system, and that QRF system really rewards winning. So you got to get some wins in there to get rewarded on that QRF. With the QRF, though, too, it does reward us for the tough schedule as well. You know, the QRF is recognizing that we're playing a lot of larger schools that should be a little bit better than us. So we are getting some QRF points rewarded there. It really won't start to show for us, though, until we start to get some wins in the column.
Do you think that's going to come in the next couple weeks?
Absolutely, yeah. I think there's a couple. It would have been really nice to get this one on Thursday, but there's certainly plenty of opportunities in the next few weeks. And, you know, from the coaching staff point of view, we knew that this would be a tough situation going into, given the dynamics of the situation with returning no varsity players to the team. Everyone's new. Everyone's playing their first varsity basketball this season. So we knew there would be growing pains. But, you know, we're just really fortunate that we have a great group of kids, a great group of seniors this year that that are truly understand the process and what it's going to take to become the team that they want to be come March.
That's important, and it's good that, you know, they have an idea. So this is your first season at the helm.
Second
season at the helm. How does it feel going? You had the season of learning with COVID and everything else. This season, you see growth as your coaching process?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure every coach will tell you this. I don't think there's, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's one coach out there that genuinely feels like they have all the answers. And that's that's what I've been finding out, talking with people that I would consider mentors. I mean, it's an always learning process. You never stop learning in this role. You're always looking to grow. You're always looking to find ways to get your kids in better positions for them to be successful. And that's what I'm learning out this learning this year is, you know, it's a constant learning process for not only us as coaches, but you got to make the kids understand that as well throughout the season that nobody knows everything. We're all learning this stuff as we go.
That's a good one. Coach Lipp talking to us about the Breckenridge Cowboys. Coach, it's been great to talk to you, and hopefully we can talk to you next week before the big showdown, Breck versus WAP. You feeling pretty good for that one?
Yeah, that'll be a fun one. That's always a good one for the community. Everyone in the Twin Towns gets together and has a good time, and the kids get to go out and compete a little bit. So that's always a good situation for everyone in town.
We'll be excited. We'll try to talk to you next week before the Breck WAP game. Thanks for coming in, Coach.
Hey, thanks.
You're listening to the Giant Sports Show on KBMW, and when we come back, we'll wrap it up, talk about a lot of the other area sports going on. You're listening to KBMW.
And now, back to the Giant Sports Show with Andrew Zimmel on the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450 KBMW.
Welcome back. Thanks for spending your weekend with me over here on KBMW 1450. It's Zimmel hanging out with you on a January 15th. Frigid temperatures in the Twin Towns, 17 below, but luckily with our winter sports, we get to be indoors. Heading up to West Fargo, take on the Packers, or the Lady Huskies, Brian Watson, and the girls going up there trying to secure it to get back to 500. They are 4-5 on the season, so a 5-5 record they'd feel pretty good about so far. Talking to Coach Watson over the past weeks is pretty much, it really has enlightened me when it comes to what is the coaching philosophy of the women's basketball team in Wahpeton, and it kind of comes down to, it really shakes all the way down to rebounding and doing your job, and in this game against the Packers at 2:15, that's what it's going to come down to. You can catch that game right here on 1450 KBMW. We will be going up with the team. The team's already on their way up, but we will be following the team as they just go up the road about an hour. Busy week this coming week, Monday. This is how crazy life is over here in the Twin Towns. Monday, got two NDSCS games, men and women. Women play at 5:30, and men play at 7:30 on B92.7. Breckenridge boys play Permium at 7:15. Then on Wednesday, the Wildcats back in action on the B at 6:30 and 8:30, women and men play. West Fargo Shanley and the Wahpeton girls, you can catch that game here on KBMW at 7 p.m. And on Saturday is the Breckenridge Wahpeton showdown, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to try to have that show jam-packed with all four of the coaches, the men's and the women's coaches, coming on to talk to us about the game before we go pretty much right into tip-off, because that game tips off. Breckenridge girls tip-off at 5:15, boys tip-off at 7:15 in the Twin Towns. So it'll be a lot of fun. We're really excited to break all of that down for you. Of course, in regional news, you saw that the NDSU Bison, the North Dakota State Bison, they ended up winning their national championship, their ninth, their umpteenth championship. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, you and I, so I'm going to wrap it up here real quick. Bison win their championship. It's a big deal for, of course, the city of Fargo. It's a big deal for the program. It's not that big of a deal. People are not making a big enough deal about it, the fact that they've won nine, because all of the opponents that are close in proximity to North Dakota State. We're talking South Dakota State. We're talking UND. We're talking just regional teams that are already in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. The Bison have already taken those down, those teams down. They've already shown that they are the supreme team in their conference. And it's funny because at the FBS level, we saw the SEC championship game play out where Alabama gets Georgia, and then in the national championship, Georgia gets Alabama. But when we get into the FCS playoffs where there's more teams and there's more opportunities to get caught up and fall off, we've seen that the Bison do not see Missouri Valley football opponents very often. A lot of the times, the Bison will either be the 1 or 2 seed. They will have already wrapped up the Missouri Valley Football Conference trophy. They will already have the trophy gathering dust in their trophy room. Then they will go off and they will end up playing Sam Houston State, or they'll play Jacksonville State, or they'll go play somebody else from a different conference. And 9 times out of 10, the Bison end up being the favorite in those type of games. We're not seeing a lot of rematches in the FCS championship game. That is, until very soon, because of all of the teams that are moving out of the FCS up a level, because of all the teams that are deciding to forego winning national, or trying to win national championships at the FCS level and attempting to now compete at the Group of Five level for the most part, compete for a chance, hopefully, to get to a Boca Raton Bowl or a chance to go play in the Beef O'Brady Bowl at a G5 level. They're foregoing their chances of winning a national championship because these programs already know something that North Dakota State knows but haven't come to the... North Dakota State knows this. They have not accepted it. All of these teams that are moving up, all these teams that are going to different conferences to join the Group of Five in a lot of ways, talking Sam Houston State, talking James Madison, they know that there's money involved. They know that they are already immediately going to be able to compete with the teams that they are going to be in a conference with, for the most part, because of the huge shift in the Power Five with Oklahoma and Texas moving to the SEC, with Cincinnati moving to the Big 12, with a bunch of other schools moving to different conferences, and the potential. They've said that they've shut it down. The ACC has tried to shut down any playoff expansion to 2026. I do not believe that. I think that the playoffs at the FBS level will expand. All of these teams that were roadblocks for the Bison to win a national championship in other conferences are now leaving. They're evaporating, which means we're going to get more and more situations where the Bison win the Missouri Valley Football Conference, or the North Dakota State plays in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, wins it, loses it, doesn't really matter because they're going to get a playoff spot, and then they're going to end up playing the Jackrabbits or the Missouri State Bears or the Fighting Hawks. They're going to have situations where the winner of the Missouri Valley Football Conference is going to be playing in the FCS Championship because that's going to be the only conference that matters. It's going to be the only conference that matters because the thing is, even with these teams moving into different conferences, moving up, nobody's moving down. The athletes don't change. The recruiting pools don't really change. I'm willing to go on a branch here and say that the athletes that are going to NDSU currently are not going to be persuaded by James Madison moving up, are not going to be persuaded by Sam Houston State moving up. The recruiting pool that the Bison have is the recruiting pool that they have. Minnesota, North Dakota, maybe they can get some Montana, Wyoming kids, some South Dakota kids. For the most part, that is the recruiting area for the Bison. Same with UND, same with South Dakota State. The recruiting pool does not change. The athletes that come to North Dakota are not going to change. There's going to be the same talent. You're going to see a situation, I'm calling it here, in a couple years, where it's going to be a rematch from the Missouri Valley Football Conference Championship back in the FCS title game. And another thing we didn't get to talk about because this happened earlier this week, Minnesota Vikings, they cleaned house. This is something that we've been alluding to, something that has been kicked down the road pretty much since week 2 of the season. Ever since the Vikings decided to start losing and winning games by field goals to start the year, ever since Mike Zimmer's conservative defensive mindset started to hamper the explosive playmaking of guys like Stephon Diggs, who essentially left because he wasn't getting the ball enough, because the offense wasn't working enough to get him touches as a wide receiver. So They trade him to Buffalo, immediately take that pick, turn it into Justin Jefferson, which in my opinion, my estimation, is the best wide receiver the Vikings have ever drafted since Randy Moss. That's how good I think Justin Jefferson is. Ever since that the Vikings offense has started to take the ball out of their explosive playmakers' hands and put it in the hands of checkdown Kirk Cousins and put it in the hands of Alex Mattison on 3rd and 9, ever since that has happened, we've kicked the can down the road that we're going to clean house. The Vikings were going to clean house, and that's what they did. They got rid of head coach Mike Zimmer. They got rid of GM Rick Spielman. And Kirk Cousins is the only member of that regime. Got signed in 2018. He's the only member, the high-paying member of that regime, that is still on the staff. Offensive coordinators, probably going to be toast. Kubiak, Clint Kubiak is looking as an offensive coordinator for the Panthers. He's getting interviewed for those jobs. The defense is probably, in my opinion, is probably going to move wherever Zimmer moves. If he becomes a defensive coach somewhere else, a lot of his defensive staff is probably going to move with him for the most part. So the Vikings are now looking for a GM. They're looking for a head coach. And there's a lot of good opportunities here. There's a lot of good coaching talent out there. I'm hoping that they hire a GM before they pick a coach, because a lot of teams, you would think that is the way that you should do things. You hire your GM, then your GM hires a coach. But we've seen it happen, most famously with the New York Jets just a couple years ago, where they hired a head coach and then they picked the GM. Because they said, this is the guy that we want coaching the team, and the GM, you'll get to pick pretty much everybody else. You'll get to pick the players that the coach has, which is not the right way to do things. You cannot put the cart before the horse. You cannot play football like the New York Jets if you want to win in the National Football League. So my hope is that the Vikings, and I think that that's what they're doing with their ownership group that has been pretty smart over the last decade, after the last two decades, they haven't made a lot of bad decisions. I'm hoping that they hire a GM, then they hire a coach, and they are able to move on from there. And there's a lot of good opportunities. There's a lot of good GMs out there. Far too many for me to list on this Saturday morning. But the hope is, I think, out of Minneapolis, out of the Twin Cities, is that you get a GM that knows how to draft well. Because the Vikings, for the most part, the first and second round have been a disaster. Their first round pick this year, the offensive tackle, he did not play till week 6 because he had to have multiple surgeries. You don't want that out of an offensive lineman. You don't want that out of any player. You draft in the first round, you want that player to make an immediate impact. You want that 23-year-old man to come in and immediately start on your team. That is what the first round pick is for. The third round pick, Kellen Mond, didn't even get a start when the entire team had COVID, showing me that there is no faith in their third round draft choice. The GM has to make picks that make sense. They have to make picks that click. Spiegelman, for the most part, he had done a pretty good job over the last 8 years drafting players who make an impact. Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, was able to sign Adam Thielen, undrafted free agent, got him into camp, signed him, made the right decision there. Diggs, same way. Justin Jefferson, same way. You click on some of these that are kind of almost no-brainers, but then you draft Teddy Bridgewater at the end of the first round, and you move off him pretty quick. And Christian Ponder, same way. What are we doing here? We need to have direction. You need to have a GM that knows how to pick quarterbacks. You need to have a GM that knows how to pick players that click with whatever offense the coach wants to run. That's going to do it for us on the Giants Sports Show. You can listen to us every morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings. We have the Wapentin-Breck game, or Breckenridge-Wapentin game, depending on what side you are of the state line, next Saturday. So we will have all of your favorite coaches coming in and talking to us then. From everybody over here at KBMW, I want to wish you a happy weekend. And tune in at 2:15 when the Wapentin Lady Huskies go off and face the West Fargo Packers. You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KBMW, little Billy Currington to end this hour. People are crazy.